Father, we come into you, into your presence. Father, we pray, Lord, that our hearts will be quietened before you, Father. That you will be able, O God, to manifest into us, O God, all that you want to bring forth into us, Father. In a living and growing reality called revelation knowledge, Father. A reality that will be manifested in each one of our hearts. A reality that will be brought forth and unveiled, O God, through all our lives, Father. This equipping, O God, in the true knowledge of your precious Son, Father. This equipping, O God, in the fullness of your word, Father. This equipping by your Spirit, O Lord, so that we will be able to do all things in the witness that you unveil within us, Father. So as you manifest in us revelation knowledge, as you explain the scriptures and revelation knowledge into us, O Lord, we pray for the witness that will result, Father. The witness that will enable us, O God, to be ministers and servants of the living God. That will enable us, O God, to receive and realize, O God, the calling that we have in our lives. So we pray that as you reveal your Son to us, as he reigns in us, as he unveils his glory and his magnificence within the tabernacles of our being, we pray for that witness that will proclaim his glory. We pray for that witness that will testify of him. We pray that that witness that will release his resurrection power, Father. We pray for that witness to arise from within us, O God, and to be brought forth by the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit, so that we will be a people who will walk by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. We will be a people who will be able to function by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. That we will be a people who will be able to do all things in the name of Jesus, Father. Because that is the purpose of revelation knowledge, Father. And we realize, O God, at the core of this reality of revelation knowledge stands the name of Jesus, Father. It is in him revealed, O God, that we come to understand and know what revelation knowledge means, Father. So build it into us, Father. We know we speak of a spiritual mystery. But your word declares that we are all to be taught of God. Your word declares, O God, that there is nothing secret except that it will come to light. There is nothing, O God, that is hidden, O God, that you will not want to reveal to us, Father. So we pray that you will truly, O God, enable us, energize us, empower us, so that we will enter into this awesome realm of grace, Father. So bless us today, O God, as we continue to receive and realize, O God, this communication of revelation knowledge. Let it come forth by your Holy Spirit. Let it be an expression in the fullness of Christ Jesus. Let it be, O God, in fulfillment of the mystery of your will, Father. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Some things to recollect. We are talking on the basics of revelation knowledge. Let's turn to Mark chapter 4, verse 22. Mark chapter 4, verse 22, and the reason why we keep repeating scripture over and over again is so that we will be able to hear. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And faith is manifested in you in substance, and it's manifested in you as an evidence. And that's what we want to capture, right? We want to realize the spiritual reality that comes to us in revelation knowledge. Verse 22, chapter 4 of Mark, verse 22. For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret but that it should come to light. And this is something very personal to you. It is something for all of us. Everything that is secret is meant to come to light. Right? And you must understand that. It is for you. It is not for some holy person. It is for you. Right? It is your destiny to receive all that is hidden in God. Right? So God is saying there's nothing that he's withholding from you. It's all a question of whether you are willing to receive, whether you're willing to go after these things. All right? Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. Here it says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. There's a tremendous amount of power that is hidden in the reality of revelation knowledge. For something to belong to you and me forever is something phenomenal. right? For something to permeate eternity tells you that there is a deep intent in revelation knowledge in the heart of God. There is a deep desire in the heart of God to sustain that revelation knowledge in your life forever. So eternal life consists of revelation knowledge. The knowledge that will enable you to live forever, and also the knowledge that will enable that life to be fully productive and fruitful throughout all eternity. We are talking here about high things. We're not talking about scratching around the earth like chickens searching for a worm. We are talking about becoming eagles, sons of the living God, both male and female, tabernacles of the living God. Each one of us chosen to be filled with the glory of the living God. The book of Ephesians chapter 3 verse 19 says that we are each to be filled with all the fullness of God. Right? That's not a small thing. All the fullness of God has to be revealed to you. The essence of that fullness being unveiled to you is this reality called revelation knowledge. And revelation knowledge is a spiritual mystery. It has to be brought into you by God. It is not something of the creation of man. It is not something of the intellect of man. It is something that is entirely of the living God. It is the means by which God communicates to you what He carries in His heart, what He carries in His will. So revelation knowledge is very basic and foundational and fundamental to anything that a Christian is supposed to know and understand. If you don't receive something in revelation knowledge, you don't really know it. You really don't know it. Are you with me? And you really must understand that everything in the scriptures has to be revealed to you. The Lord Jesus Christ has to be revealed to you. That's why you can only come alive to Jesus when you are born again. You can only come alive to Jesus when you are born again. It is not something that comes to you naturally. It is not something that comes to you naturally. It is something that is a spiritual reality. It's a deep spiritual reality. It's a spiritual reality in which God creates you, fashions you as His unique vessel. So how much has God got for us? We really don't know. Because in Isaiah chapter 55, we read, the Lord says to us that His thoughts are higher than ours, even as the heavens are above the earth. So all that is supposed to become revelation knowledge. And in that process, as the reality of revelation knowledge is brought into you, you rise into the mount of the Lord. As more and more of the knowledge of God comes inside of you, you rise into a higher and higher plane of reality. Are you with me? So that is a reality of revelation knowledge, right? Let's look at Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4. Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, and who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood, and has not sworn deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord, and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. And righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek Thy face, even Jacob. All right? So we can ascend into the hill of the Lord, right? There is a reality that comes into your heart that enables you to occupy a place before God. And remember the example of Elijah, right? 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Elijah comes out of nowhere. He comes before Ahab and he tells him, by the words of my mouth it will not rain, because I am standing before God. Now that's what we are calling about, that's what is meant by revelation knowledge. He has a knowledge within him of who God is. He has a knowledge within him of what kind of a position he occupies in God. He has a knowledge within him of the will of God. And in that knowledge, he stands before Ahab and he proclaims something. And God comes through in what he says. So you need to understand that that's what we are talking about. That all of us are supposed to be equipped in the fulfillment of the law and the prophets to stand in such a position. To stand as unique vessels of the Lord. To stand in such a position, you have to be equipped entirely through revelation knowledge. I will repeat that, entirely through revelation knowledge. Because the righteousness of man is filthy rags. Are you listening? Entirely. There is no place for the knowledge that comes from the systems of the world. Why do I say that? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. We read that again yesterday. Let's go over that again. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Jesus is talking about John the Baptist, and this is what he says. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What is the difference? The difference is this reality called revelation knowledge, unveiled under the new covenant in the name of Jesus. The difference is the name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus is a revelation brought to our hearts. And that's what we talked about yesterday, correct? That the name of Jesus is entirely a revelation from God the Father. Right? And if that revelation doesn't come to you, you really don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You may talk about Him, but you don't really know Him. There's a world of a difference between talking about Him and writing about Him and telling about Him and knowing Him and speaking in the reality of the knowledge of Him. The knowledge that knows Him in an intimacy. All right? Okay, so we were looking at that from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. Let's turn to that, because I want to take out another point here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. Paul is writing this as a prayer. We're going to read from verse 17, and it reads that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, Jesus Christ. All right? God has to give you a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way in which you're going to come to know Him. When did you begin to know God? When you were born again. How were you born again? You were born again, and that was a spiritual mystery. It happened when your heart was open to the Lord Jesus Christ. When something within you said that He is the Lord. Who did that for you? That came from God the Father. So it says here that it is God the Father who has got to reveal God the Son. Are you with me? Verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. And all revelation knowledge involves your heart, and it involves the manifestation of the light of God. What is enlightenment? Putting on light. So the light that is in God is made manifest within you. That is called an enlightened reality. And revelation knowledge is the knowledge that unveils the light of God, not the light of man. The light of God, the light that is strictly from God. The pure light that is of God. Amen? And your heart is designed to be enlightened in that light. Right? And so we went through it yesterday, that the first thing that comes out of that enlightenment is your calling. Hello? So let's read that. So that you may know what is the hope of His calling. The first thing that comes alive to you in Christ Jesus is purpose. God didn't save you so that you will sit in a pew in a church. God saved you so that you will become a vessel that He will use for His purposes. God saved you so that you will become a blessing, an eternal blessing, an ever-growing blessing. A blessing that God will create and unveil from His heart. And so you have to be enlightened in His light, and you have to have a calling in Him. Now that calling may start very small in this earth, but that calling is limitless in its potential, because it will grow and it will develop as God makes you grow and develop. So don't despise the day of small beginnings. You read that in the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, I think it's in verse 6. Verse 6 to verse 8, somewhere around there it says, don't despise the day of small beginnings. All right? Don't despise the day of small beginnings. You start small so that you can get everything right. To do it the right way. To do it with the right intentions. Not to have hidden agendas in your heart. Okay? What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? What is it all about? God manifesting a calling and enlightening you in revelation knowledge. It is to unveil your inheritance. That awesome inheritance that God has for you. That inheritance that is in the saints. Why in the saints? Because you are to receive this inheritance as part of a body of Christ. As part of a living and growing body. We are not to be established as prima donnas. We are to become members of a living body. So it's saying that the richness that God wants to give you has to be developed in the context of being part and parcel of a body. Are you with me? So revelation knowledge will also enable you to come alive to the fact that the body of Christ is very important. That the body of Christ is more important than your individual wants and desires. Now it's only revelation knowledge that is going to bring that. Fleshly knowledge will not bring unity in the church. It is revelation knowledge, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the knowledge of His love, the knowledge of His faith, the knowledge that is built in His spirit, the knowledge that is built in His life. That is the knowledge that is going to unite the church. Not the desires of man, because the desires of man are not righteous. Are you with me? So you remember yesterday we read a verse in the book of Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, which said that all of the righteousnesses of man are filthy rags. So revelation knowledge is designed to bring the righteousness of God into your being. So that you stop living by your mediocre self and my mediocre self. That you discover what it means to live in and by and through God. What it means to live in the knowledge of God. What it means to discover what God can do with you. In that process, you begin to discover an intimacy with God that is unique to your life. Are you with me? Unique to your personality. As God shapes you and molds you and brings you forth as His unique vessel. Okay? All right, what else does revelation knowledge do for you? Verse 19. And what is the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe? And that's what I want to talk about today. That revelation knowledge opens the reality of the power of God. Revelation knowledge opens the reality of the power of God. Nothing else that can bring the power of God within you. If you look at how we have operated in the charismatic move, it has always been through anointings that came upon us. But there is a power that God wants to invest in your being. That power is called dunamis power. The Greek word for power there is dunamis. That is the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the power that God invested in the Lord Jesus Christ through His resurrection. That power that He wants to bring into our lives so that we will unfold in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that we will unfold in the fullness of Jesus Christ. So that we will unfold in His image. So that we will truly be like Jesus. That power. So if you ask, what is the purpose of this revelation knowledge? It is to build the channels through which the power of God will flow. It is like literally building electric cables from God to you. And through those cables, God wants to manifest a power. A power that is going to be invested in your person. A power that is going to be invested in your being. A power that is going to be brought forth in everything that you do in thought, word, and in deed. So what does He say here? He says, the surpassing greatness of His power. Not just the greatness of power. He's saying, the surpassing greatness of His power. Surpassing greatness, the power that is over and above every other kind of power. Political power, the power of crookedness, the power of manipulation, the power of witchcraft, the power of sorcery, the power of idolatry, right? The power of manipulation, right? Every form of power that you see in the systems of the world. A pure and unadulterated power. A power that is defined in the knowledge of God. A power that is conformed to the reality of who God is and all that God is. That power. That power by which Jesus Christ upholds all things. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Verse 3. It's talking here about Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. And it's saying, and He is the radiance of His glory. He is Jesus. His glory is the Father's glory. So Jesus Christ is the radiance of the Father's glory. And the exact representation of His nature. If you have a King James Bible, it says person. If you have a New International Version, it says being. All right? And upholds all things by the word of His power. The Greek word for word there is rhema. And that rhema word is supposed to unveil to you revelation knowledge. When that rhema word unveils to you revelation knowledge, there is a transference of power. But that power is defined in the word. It is not based on emotion. It is not based on our fancy thoughts. It is not based on our desires. It is based on the will of God that He has defined in His word. Right? And unveiled in the power of the cross. Because dunamis power is the power of the cross. Are you listening, brethren? Alright? It's very important that you understand that. So what is the purpose of revelation knowledge? To bring the power that God invested in Jesus Christ into your being. To bring it in the right way. To bring it so that it will accomplish the desires of the Father's heart. It will bring to life the purposes that God has for you. The purposes that the Bible says that God had for you from the foundation of the world. Even before your unformed substance, God saw you. And God chose to bless you. Hello, you need to listen to the word of God. You need to listen to the word of God. You need to listen to who you are in God. Not as the world system defines you. In the world systems, we are all of no consequence. But in the kingdom of God, we are all of significance. We are all of significance because God has chosen to invest the fullness of Jesus Christ in each and every one of us. Whether we are great, whether we are small, whether we are smart, whether we are not so smart. Are you with me? So remember the words in John 1:16, of His fullness we have all received grace upon grace, not merit upon merit. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Of His fullness, the fullness of Jesus Christ, we have all received. No matter what we have done in our past, no matter where we have come from, no matter what our forefathers have done, the promises of God are given to us, whether we are male or we are female, whether we are Jew, whether we are Gentile, whether we are rich, free man, or whether we are slave. Right? The fullness of Jesus Christ is available to us. Grace upon grace. Why grace upon grace? So that nobody will boast. Nobody will boast. Are you with me? Now the communication of His fullness is by revelation knowledge. So remember yesterday we talked about you having to pray that prayer that Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17 and 18. You sit down and by the Holy Spirit you design how you want to know and understand that prayer. How you want to see it alive in your life. I said everything in revelation knowledge has to be established in the name of Jesus. Otherwise you will misuse it. Otherwise you will misuse it. And if you ask me why do you say that, it's very simple. If you look at Lucifer, you will understand all that. All right? Because the Bible says Lucifer was allowed to walk amongst the stones of fire. I don't know what that means. But it was something in the mount of the Lord. And from that position he fell. He fell because he misused the knowledge. So you and I must understand very, very essentially that nothing is going to be right in our life if it's not established in the name of Jesus. Nothing. You cannot be good in your good intentions. It will never work. So revelation knowledge is in and off of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is of his fullness. If it's not of his fullness, it is not going to bring forth the purposes of God. It is going to bring forth something that is what the occult realm is all about. Spiritual knowledge gone wrong. Spiritual knowledge used to do tricks. Spiritual knowledge, right? Manifesting power that does not unfold the will and purposes of God. Right? So you find magicians, you find so-called godmen doing miracles too. There is revelation knowledge in that too. The revelation knowledge of the occult realm, the hidden power of darkness. That power that went wrong in Lucifer's life. That power that he holds in a hierarchy of darkness. All right? You don't want to get into that kind of a power realm. You don't want to get into something that will ultimately destroy you. But the Bible refers to that realm of things as false miracles. Miracles that don't attain anything. They don't do anything for a human being. They're just there like a show. Right? But every miracle in the scriptures achieved something of the testimony of God. So that's the difference. And you need to understand and know that. And that's why you need to understand that it is through Jesus Christ that the true knowledge of things will come alive to you. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one cometh unto the Father except by me. And that is something that has to be birthed in your heart. It must become a confidence inside of you. It must become a burning fire of conviction inside of you. In that reality, God is called a consuming fire. And your heart must capture that consuming fire. Because revelation knowledge is ultimately meant to become a fire in your heart. A fire that unveils you as what the Bible calls a morning star. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word. Revelation knowledge is always prophetic. What does it mean? It always has the intent of fulfillment. Always. It is not just knowledge for the sake of information. It is knowledge to unveil life. It is knowledge to manifest purpose. It is knowledge to unveil a destiny. Are you with me? And so it says, you have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns. When the day dawns, the revelation comes alive inside of you. Right? And the morning star arises in your hearts. Are you listening? So everything that God wants to build inside of you is going to be built inside of you in revelation knowledge. It is going to be manifested inside of you as a consuming fire that is addressed here as a morning star. And so that you will not forget what that morning star is all about, Jesus is called the bright morning star. The bright morning star. So each and every one of us is a morning star in his fullness. So, what Paul prayed for in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17 to verse 19 is meant to make us morning stars. And we become morning stars in the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the revelation of his fullness, in the revelation of everything that God has invested in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, it will be done for you. If you ask anything in my name, it will be given to you. This is what it means. That you will rise into a position where you can ask anything and do anything and it will come to pass. That there is no question of failure. There is no question of not being able to receive or realize what God has purposed in your life. It will always come forth because it is defined in the name of Jesus. In order for you to stand in the name of Jesus, we introduced a phrase yesterday called the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Don't play games with God. Don't try and hide things from God. It's silly. You're just wasting your time. Because He's going to take you around the wilderness and bring you back to the same point, and He's going to address the same weaknesses. Hello, even if you go to heaven, He's going to address those same weaknesses. He's going to address the pride. He's going to address the selfishness. He's going to address the hurts. He's going to address the self-righteousness. He's going to address the lust. He's going to address the greed. You can't run away from those things. He has to address them. And they are not going to magically disappear from you because they are there in you and me because we want them to be there. Hello. Right? Because we want them to be there. Why do we sin? Because we want to sin. Because there's a part of us that wants to sin. Are you with me? So revelation knowledge brings into you the reality of not wanting to sin. Of being set free from the witness of sin and death. Okay? So there are two kinds of witnesses within us. One witness is the witness of our flesh and our fallen nature. And the other witness is what God is manifesting through revelation knowledge. Are you with me? Listening? And there is going to be a battle. And you have to fight that battle. Each and every one of us is going to fight it in different ways. Right? Each one of us is going to fight it in our personalities. Each one of us is going to fight it in our free will. Each one of us is going to fight it in our choices. Each one of us is going to fight it in our emotions, in our character, in our nature, in our personalities, in our desires, in our imaginations. Hello? There are imaginations that are corrupt. There are also imaginations that are beautiful. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. The Greek word for mind is dianoia, your imaginative mind. So becoming a Christian doesn't mean you become an unimaginative so-and-so. Faith is full of imagination. Right? It sees things in God. Right? Are you with me? So you're going to have to fight a battle in your imaginations. You're also going to fight a battle in your desires. There is a desire for lust. There is also a desire for holiness. Are you listening? So we use the word desire so often to depict something that is fallen. But desire was given to us by God. It was created for something that is awesome and powerful. Are you with me? There is a reality in our flesh that is called lust. There is a reality in the Spirit of God that is called love. Lust and love are not the same thing. They will never be the same thing. Are you with me? Okay. There is a part of the witness in our flesh that is selfish and self-centered, and there is a part that is part of the witness that God brings into us that is giving, that is willing to share, that is willing to bless. So each and every one of us is going to have to fight a battle in order to receive the revelation that God wants to bring into our life. It is not going to just drop out of heaven like that. The problem is going to be in trying to receive it. All right. Remember, the key to revelation knowledge is this word called understanding. And the battle is for this word called understanding. Hello. If you can understand something, you have got it. The seed has been planted. The beginning has been made. Are you with me? Okay. So all spiritual warfare involves revelation knowledge. It involves the knowledge of God. Where do we find that? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 5. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. Are you with me? So the battle has to be first fought within your own being. That's where the battle has to be fought. Is God real? How many people ask that? Is God with me? Hello? The Bible says that God cannot leave you. Why? Because He's already purchased you with His blood. But how often have we felt that we are the only ones suffering? Right? Why is it that so often we have felt that we are all alone and nobody is around, that God has just left us high and dry? What is the battle all about? The battle is about you discovering that God has never left you. He cannot leave you. How can He leave you? He's omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. He cannot leave you. Even with the non-Christian, He's there. Right? Even with the person who is falling before an idol, He's there, trying to reach out and touch that person. God cannot leave you. It is impossible for Him to leave you. But you can leave Him out. That's possible. Right? That's possible. So revelation knowledge, the heart of revelation knowledge is the knowledge of God, knowing God. And knowing God is not head knowledge of God, it is intimacy. Right? It is intimacy. All right. So revelation knowledge, the heart of revelation knowledge is an intimacy with the Lord. And you have to fight to receive that intimacy. It's not going to drop out of somewhere. It is not going to come out magically. You have to go after it. Jesus gave us three words: ask, seek, and knock. And He said, all who ask will receive. All who seek will find. All who knock will have it open to them. There were no ifs and buts. It's only a question of whether you will keep seeking it, whether you will keep asking for it. Hello? Why does God say you must keep asking for it, or you must keep seeking it? So that it is very clear within yourself that you really want it. Hello? If you really want something, you will go after it and you will keep on going after it. If you are just saying the words, then you will say it for 5 days and then you will forget all about it. You will get tired. Right? Are you with me? Okay? Listening? So this key word, understanding, we picked up in our session previously. Let's revisit that. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 11, you know the parable of the sower, right? Jesus talks about the sower, and He went and He sowed in different areas. In verse 11 He says, and He answered and said to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. How do you know it has been granted to you? Because you are born again. Hello? In John chapter 3 verse 3, Jesus said, if you are not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Correct? If you are not born of the Spirit and water, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. John chapter 3 verse 5. So all of us who are born again here, there's no question about whether God will give me or He will not give me. It has already been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Are you listening, brethren? All right? Verse 16. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. What's the difference between them and us? The Lord Jesus Christ. Hello, the Lord Jesus Christ. You are born again, your eyes have been opened. You are born again, your ears have been unstopped. Potentially, everything in God is open to you. The only question is, do you want it? Because you are a free will creature, you have to want it. If you don't want it, it will not come forth. Right? Are you with me? Right? So if you go back to Mark chapter 4, verse 22 and verse 23, Jesus, what did he say? Make sure how you hear. For according to how you hear, it will be done for you. It will be given to you. Right? Let's look at that. Keep your finger on Matthew 13. We will come back to it. Right? Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 22. Let's read that for context. For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret but that it should come to light. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure it shall be measured to you, and more shall be given you beside. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him. Very serious words. Take care how you listen. So this whole school is built on listening, right? Your willingness to listen, right? Your willingness to understand, your willingness to pray what you want to receive from God. Nobody can do that for you, brethren. Nobody can teach you those things. You have to hear and you have to tell the Lord heart to heart, I want that, Lord, in my life. I want to see that in my ministry. I want to see this come forth in my ministry. And will you lead me into it? Right? Will you enable me to receive it? Will you give me the strength to persevere? Will you give me the desire to keep on asking and to keep on seeking and to keep on knocking? Will you give me the desire? Will you give me the passion? Will you give me the conviction? Will you give me the confidence, Lord, to go after this? Are you with me? Hello? Why does God insist that you ask and you seek and you knock so that you have a passion for what God is giving you? So you have a passion to know and to understand something, you treat it as a treasure, it is of value to you, and then you will be careful to use it well. You see, Lucifer never valued what God gave him. He thought it was his to use whichever way he wanted to use it. And he used it in the book of Ezekiel tells us, he used it, he traded in it. He used it to buy influence. And he was very successful with that influence. One third of the angels bought his influence. The only problem was the influence could not be maintained. Right? He even thought he could be God. And he only discovered he was nobody when God threw him and all his one third of the angels at the speed of lightning. That's all it took God to throw him out. It's at that point that he realized how insignificant he really was. Are you with me? So the things of God have to be valued. They are not of the things of the world, here today and gone tomorrow. They are of eternal significance. Right? Remember our definitive verse on revelation knowledge, that the things revealed to you are yours forever. So it is not a small thing that God is talking about. So take care how you listen. Take care how you receive. Take care. What you receive, take care that it is something that will truly be a blessing. That's what you must always watch out for. You see, God takes you step by step, and in every step he's teaching you how to use it as a blessing and how to understand that it needs to be a blessing always. Why it cannot be selfishly used, selfishly invoked, selfishly utilized. And all that is part of your growth as a servant of God. Hello? Are you listening? And you have to understand that precisely. You have to understand that clearly. And don't play games with it. Because you will lose it all. All right? So the testimony of Lucifer is very important for us to understand when we study revelation knowledge. He is the typical case of a fool who lost everything. He was given everything and he amazingly managed to lose everything. He was blessed and he was blessed and he was blessed. And he managed to turn all of those blessings into a curse. What a genius. What an absolute genius. That's what you call a congenital idiot. That's why he's called Lucy Fool. Right? Okay. So, when anyone hears verse 19, Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. All right? That's where the battleground is. All right? Understanding. All right? You don't have anything in God until you understand it. Will be enlightened. In the King James Bible, it says that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. Are you with me? So this key word, understanding, is at the heart of everything that God wants to bring into your life. Are you with me? Right? So as you listen to the tapes, make sure you understand. Don't memorize. Understand. Understand. Hear the word of God. Know where it's from. Know where to get it from. Alright? And then you will begin to understand that as you read it and as you meditate it, it will come naturally to you. You will know the verse by heart. Alright? And you never even tried to remember it. It just came naturally because you loved it, because you wanted to know it, because you wanted to understand it. It just naturally flowed into you. That's how you learn things in the kingdom of God. It's a rest. It is not a struggle. It is not sitting there burning the midnight oil and mugging something. Right? It is just naturally receiving by the Spirit with understanding what the Word is saying. Alright? So please do that. Right? Please do that. And do that, alright, over a period of time. Right? Hello? 3 years is not very long in the Lord. Alright? You've already been more than 3 years in the Lord. And do you realize that you know very little? Alright? So, learn it the right way. Hear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Alright? What is faith? It is substance. Right? So how does God teach you something? He puts the substance inside of you. What happens to that substance? Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says that substance becomes an evidence. Right? What is the evidence of the word of God? Understanding. Basically, it is understanding. It has to start from understanding. Are you with me? Where does understanding take us? Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The second half of that verse. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So understanding enables you to know the Holy One. In the King James Bible, it says that understanding unveils the Holy. Alright? The Holy One and the things that are holy. So understanding is very important. Okay? Not memorization. Memorization is the use of the mind. Understanding comes from the heart. Right? And there's a world of a difference between an understanding heart and a clever mind. Alright? So the eyes of your heart is what God is talking about. Right? The morning star is going to rise in your heart, not in your mind. So the word of God is concerned with your heart. The law of God says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart. And if your heart is right, then your soul will be right. And if your soul is right, then your mind will be right. And if your heart, soul, and mind are in the right place, then you have strength. Praise the Lord. Are you listening? So understanding. So listen until you understand. Listen until you understand. Listen until you receive the peace of the Lord. Hello? The peace that passeth all understanding. Have you heard of that one? Correct? So how does God tell you that He has taught you something that you didn't know you were taught? He manifests peace within you. right? And when that peace comes through, you know that God has taught you something, even though your conscious mind hasn't understood that. So it is that peace that you monitor. It is that peace when you pray in tongues. It is that peace when you receive that peace, you have received something in the Lord. You may not be able to put your finger on it, but it's there. It's a spiritual communication that has been established within you. One day it will come out. In order for it to come out, you have to open your mouth, unfortunately. All right? You have to open your mouth and you have to speak. All right? You can't speak what you want. You have to speak what the Spirit puts in your heart. All right? Praise the Lord. So this key word, understanding. All right? Are you with me? All right. Let's go back. Where were we when we came to all this? We were in Matthew chapter 13, right? Okay. Matthew chapter 13. Praise the Lord. Okay? So you need to fight for that understanding. All right? The key is that word, understanding. All right? Praise the Lord. Let me show you another verse that mentions it again. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith, we understand. So, revelation knowledge is understanding that comes by faith. Where does faith originate from? Hope. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of hope, the evidence, right? The evidence of the unseen, correct? All right? The evidence of the unseen ultimately becomes, right? Understanding. When you understand something, you have seen it. Spiritually speaking, your eyes have been enlightened. You have received something. Are you with me? One of the basic ideas God has with this seeing eye is the eye of understanding. All right? It is not just merely seeing a vision. You have to understand the vision. What is God exactly saying? All right? Okay? Are you with me? So the word of the Lord came to me. What ultimately has to result? Do you have an understanding of what the Lord put into your heart? All right? So the Lord spoke to you. I want you to be my servant. Very nice. God wants you to be his servant. What does it mean to be his servant? Hello? My son, I want to bless you. Nice word, bless you. So what does he mean that he wants to bless you? Where is that blessing contained? What's the meaning of that blessing? How is it going to come inside of you? When is it going to come inside of you? And how is it going to be developed through you? Hello? Now to realize all that, you need this word understanding. Are you listening? So understanding is a very complex and yet wonderful reality. Alright, go after it. Alright, go after it. Revelation knowledge results in understanding. Hello? Amen? Learning how to speak by God. Learning how to function by the Holy Spirit. Learning how to do something in the name of Jesus. All that requires understanding. Understanding that is defined with a conviction. Understanding that is defined with a confidence. Understanding that is manifested in the brilliance of truth. Not crookedness. Not crookedness. Not manipulation. Are you with me? Right? Understanding is a word that unveils as a blessing. Right? Once God has brought understanding into your life and he's able to manifest it through your life, you are now in a position to bless others. So revelation knowledge results in understanding. And as you walk into the things that God opens to you, that understanding is perfected. You have a perfected knowledge. And knowledge is perfected in understanding. And understanding becomes the heart of your wisdom. Wisdom is applying that understanding. Right? Applying that knowledge. Are you with me? And everything is hidden in Jesus Christ. Don't forget that. It is not a question of trying to be clever, trying to be intelligent, trying to be smart. Is the Lord in it? Is it of the Lord? Is your plan a communication of Jesus Christ or is it a communication of your intelligence? Hello? Are you with me? You know, there are a lot of plans that we put together in the Christian church are very intelligent plans. But are they a reflection of the fullness of Jesus Christ? If they are not, is God going to sustain it? You know? Hello. Yes, there are so many needs in the world, and we can certainly come up with a whole bunch of plans to meet those needs. The question always is God in it? Hello? Is God in it? Is He being unveiled into it? Right? Are you with me? People who are lazy to sit at the feet of God always have got plans of their own. Right? And fundamentally, they are too lazy to sit and find out what God wants to do. Correct? And all that has to change, brethren, because 2,000 years we haven't done very much in the Church of Jesus Christ. Hello? There have been periods in history where the church held all political power. It had all economic power and it did nothing. Hello? That's history of the church. And if we think today that we can bring our MBAs into the church and manifest the same thing, we are being very foolish. We are being very foolish. It is time for Jesus Christ to be revealed through us. It is time for us to discover the fullness of Jesus Christ and not play religious games anymore. It is so crucial and fundamental that the Christian church understands that it is the fullness of Jesus Christ that must fill all in all. It is written, brethren. It is written that He is the way, the truth, and the life. It is written that He is the bread of life. So what bread are we giving? It is written He is the light of the world. So what light are we manifesting? It is written that He is the door. If the human race is going to be blessed, it is going to be blessed in Him and by Him and through Him and by nothing else. It has to be so. It cannot be anything else. 2,000 years have already shown that. And it's time we learned from the lessons of the past. It's utterly stupid to go on repeating the same thing over and over and over again. How many times do we have to learn the lesson that we cannot carry anointings in crookedness? That we cannot build churches for our own agendas. We cannot build ministries for our own names. Haven't we seen enough pastors fall to learn from these things that if Jesus Christ is not preeminent, nothing is going to work? Nothing is going to remain. Of what use is working so hard for 40 years and then find out that there is nothing left after that? Why don't we wait on Him? And let Him train us and use us. Let Him mold us and shape us. Let Him stretch us. Let Him put us together. Why don't we wait for the Holy Spirit to bring forth? Hello, only God can unveil the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is God's idea. The church is God's idea, not our idea. The church is not an organization. It is the body of Christ. It is defined to manifest the fullness of Jesus Christ. And there's no two ways about that. It is written. It is written. When Jesus spoke to the devil, He said, "It is written," and that's it. The devil didn't sit down and have an argument with Him. He didn't sit down and open a concordance and say, "Let's look at the different viewpoints here." Right? It is written. That's it. Correct? Are you with me? All the scholars arguing about the scriptures, why don't you just bow down to the Lord your God and say, "Lord, teach me," instead of pretending that we know something in ourselves? Heck, if you actually know something, you can create with it. That's the knowledge of God. The knowledge that comes from God. The knowledge that is sustained by God. We can't create an atom, but we say we know how the universe was created. Isn't it amazing? And just because the bloke has a few PhDs after his name, we say yes and amen, he must know what he's saying. Can he actually solve your problem? Can he actually bring joy into your heart? I mean, seriously, guys. We just take all this drivel that somebody just postulates and puts into a book, and because he sounds intelligent, we say yes and amen to it. It's a load of rubbish. It doesn't change human lives. Right? It doesn't do anything. Right? It just confuses and it just destroys. Right? So much of mainline Christianity has been destroyed through liberal theology. Asking questions. Doubt, the word of God says, destroys everything. Let's turn to the book of James. James chapter 1. Verse 5 onwards. James chapter 1 verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Hello, wind represents spirit. Tossed by the wrong spirit until you don't know whether you're coming or you're going. Alright? So many young men have gone through theology school and come out losing their whole faith. Not knowing of anything that God wrote in the scriptures. Everything was questioned. It was questioned for the sake of questioning it. It's not that people had an answer to it. And so the scripture says, if you enter into doubt, you will lose everything that you have in God. So if you want to learn the scriptures, the first thing you have to do is to bow down before God. Teach me, Lord. This is your word. You open it and you put it inside of me. And what I cannot explain, I know you have an explanation. Hello, being born again, is it real or not? The changes that God has brought into your life, is it real or not? Being baptized in the Holy Spirit, is it real or not? Operating the gifts of that God has given you, is it real or not? So if those things are real, why do you sit down and keep doubting whether this town has been correctly named or whether it historically existed? Of what relevance is it to you? You mean to say when you get into your car, you understand every part of the car that works? Then only you will drive in it. Why is it when you come into the Word of God, everything must be understood? Hello, you don't ask your biology teacher how exactly two sperms can create a baby and ask him to explain it and say, until you explain it, I will not receive anything from your biological teaching because it is nonsense, it's not real. Are you with me? So much has been done in the church, right? We bring into the teaching of people questions. Questions that have got no relevance to life. Whether you know the answer or you don't know the answer doesn't make any difference to you. Right? Hello. Questions to make people sound as if they are intelligent. And in the process of expounding their intelligence, they destroy the faith of people who are too young to understand what the ramifications of those questions are. Because doubt is spirit. It's the wrong spirit. Right? And before you know it, you are echoing the words of the accuser. This is not right. That is not right. Right? So why didn't the accuser challenge Jesus and tell him this is not right and that is not right? Right? Are you with me? Are you listening? All right? Praise the Lord. You know, there is an amazing realm of truth in the scriptures. Amazing. Far beyond the intelligence of man. It is through that realm of awesome wisdom and understanding and knowledge that God tells you, don't ask me questions that I do not want to answer you. Don't ask me questions that are irrelevant to your life. Ask me questions that will transform your life. Ask me questions that will transform your nature. Ask me questions that will make you a blessing. And I will answer those questions 100%. Ask me questions that will bring forth life in the human race. Ask me questions that will lead to a newness. Ask me questions that will refresh, strengthen, renew, transform character and nature. Hello. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is to bring life. Focus on that. Ask the Lord all the questions you want. And wait upon Him to receive the answers to those questions. And there's so much that God wants to give us. There's so much that God wants to bring into your being. When God answers a question, He will answer it and bring it inside of your being. God doesn't give answers that simply tickle the intellect. He changes lives. Because when God answers a question, He'll answer it through life. He will answer it through a transformation of your nature and your character. So many people base their response to God on questions that have no relevance to their lives. Questions that will have no impact on their lives. Isn't that foolish? God has given us the scriptures so that we will receive and realize a new life. He's talking about a new creation. For the human race to continue, there has to be a new creation. There has to be a new nature. There has to be a new understanding of the reality of life. We need a transformation. We need a whole new being. And that's what the scripture is addressing. That's the question God wants you to ask. There is a whole realm of wonder in the scriptures. Awesome, wonderful truth. Deep truths. Truths that set us free. It is pointless for us arguing these are the canonical books, these are not the canonical books. Others argue about the relevance of certain books. Receive all things in the name of Jesus and the truth will set you free. That's what it's all about. Is there truth in that? Some people say the book of Revelation is irrelevant. That's because you don't understand it. So everything that you don't understand is not relevant? Everything that you cannot appreciate in the spirit is not relevant? Right? I heard one person tell me that the only thing he believes in is in the four gospels. That's all. What tragedy. Right? Because he didn't understand anything in the scriptures. He never gave his heart to God to understand it. So that God could explain to him why the book of Genesis is so important. Why the law is so important. Why the law is going to be fulfilled. Why the prophets are there. That the Bible is a book of amazing fulfillment. Right? Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Okay, so revelation knowledge. Go after it. Go after it with all of your heart. Go after it so that you will be in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ, because that's what revelation knowledge will ultimately manifest in your life, all right? And leave the questions to God, right? Are you with me? There are so many questions in the scriptures that we do not have answers for. But what God tells us is that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And against these there is no law. And he said that you can try it out and see whether it's real or not. Amen. Right? Ask the Holy Spirit to change you. And then you can ask yourself, is that change genuine or is it half-baked stuff? Right? Are you with me? Okay. Praise the Lord. So you need to understand, right, that this reality of revelation knowledge is a wonderful gift that God has given us. Let's go after that, right? Let's go after that in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right, let's look at one last verse before we finish. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Powerful verse. It says, in order for you to understand the new self that God has wants to unfold in you. You need to have the spirit of your mind being renewed. You need to receive the spirit of Christ. So revelation knowledge is built in the spirit and life of Jesus. It stands in the faith and love of Jesus. And through it you will begin to understand that God has called you a new creation. That you can actually put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Isn't that powerful? Brethren, no other religious form will tell you that. No other religious form will open that kind of a truth to you. No other religious philosophy, no New Age religion, no other kind of religion will give you a reality like that. That the spirit of your mind will be renewed so that you can put on the new self that is made in the image and likeness of God. In righteousness and holiness of the truth. The truth that sets you free, brethren. Righteousness, the ability to do something right. Holy, to do it with the intent of something belonging to God. And when that evidence comes inside of you, when that conviction comes inside of you, that is priceless. And that is the value of revelation knowledge. It has brought into you something that is in the heart of God. And it has brought into you a new life, a new tomorrow, a new future. It has made you a creature of destiny. Hello? But you must understand all this takes time. The trouble is we don't give that time to God. We run in our own ways. And in the end we feel so frustrated. And then we turn those frustrations on God and say, why didn't you correct me? Why didn't you help me? God said, you're not listening to what I'm saying. Right? You're not listening. You're not reading my word the way I have spoken it. You are interpreting the word so that you can do something for yourself. You're not waiting on me to bring forth what I want to bring forth. Are you listening? Praise the Lord. Amen. So this reality of revelation knowledge is the basis in which God communicates the kingdom of God. All right? It's the basis on which God communicates the kingdom of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay? Now I want to read a couple of the parables of Jesus Christ so that you understand what we are talking about. All right? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 and 32. He presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Now this field is your heart. And this is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. All right? So that tells you something, that God is planting through his word the seed inside of you, and the purpose is to bring forth the tree of life inside of you. Alright? Let's turn to verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Are you listening? The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. That means it has to be revealed. But once it is revealed, he says, it is more valuable than anything else. All right, let's look at verse 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Are you listening? How do you buy things in the kingdom of God? With your time, with your heart, by setting your hope on the things of God. All right? All of us have to make decisions, right, with how we spend our life. Where are you investing your life? All right? Praise the Lord. Take care what you listen to. For by what you listen, it will be measured to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Shall we pray? Precious and Holy Father, your word contains so much that is meant to manifest as life in us, Father. The word is not given to us as a theoretical discourse, Father. It is meant to manifest true life. It is meant to unveil a character conformed to Christ Jesus. It is meant to unveil us in the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ as a brand new creation. A creation unveiled in truth. A creation that functions by the Holy Spirit, Father. A creation that is able to do all things before you. So let this word come alive in us, Lord. And give us the strength and the patience to wait upon your Spirit. To unfold that word into our inward parts. To bring alive in us the fullness of Jesus Christ. So that the revelation of Jesus Christ will open the word to us with a true understanding, with a true strength and conviction. That as the word opens to us, the power that is invested in that word, that resurrection power will flow into us, enabling every function in the word to come alive inside of us. That we will receive and realize that power that will enable us to live, that will enable us to come forth as a brand new creation, Father. Your word declares that we are created in Christ Jesus, that we are meant to be entirely your workmanship. Lord, this creative work is manifested in us in a realm of knowledge that comes from your heart. It is entirely a revelation to be worked into our being. It is entirely a revelation to be perfected and completed in us, so that we unveil in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. So Father, we pray that you will bless us, Father. We pray that you will enable us. We pray, O God, that you will truly unfold us in the strength of your name. Let all things within us be renewed and regenerated. Let all things within us, O God, unfold as being wrought in you, Father. Let everything within us come forth as your workmanship. Teach us, enable us, empower us, energize us, Father. You are our light and you are our salvation. There is none besides you, O God. So manifest in us the Lord Jesus Christ and all of his fullness, that we will truly, in revelation knowledge, discover the name of Jesus, so that we will live and do all things in the name of Jesus. We bless you and thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.